Habarcha says Tefillah. Somebody who sells a boat
or a ship.
Habarcha's attorney sells the mast. Vesa nes. The nes is the sail. Vesa chukin, the anchors. Veskomanim on all the oars. Avlomar chasavarim, he doesn't sell the galley slaves. Vlomar tufin, nor the containers which hold the cargo. The Veloa Santiki, nor the cargo itself. But Bizman said it and everything within it, they're all sold. If you sell a carriage, you don't sell the mules which lead the carriage. If you sell the mules, you don't sell the carriage. If you sell the yoke which holds two cows in place when they're leading something, you don't sell the cows or the oxen, whatever they are. Machas abaki, we sell the oxen. Lo machas otem, we don't automatically sell the yoke. Reina me'adoyim odim. The reader's famous shita is, see how much he paid. That'll tell you. Ketzad, also amar lo, machal itzim d'chom masayim tzuz, we said, sell me your yoke for 200 tzuz. Everybody knows, she'en etzem et masayim tzuz. You don't sell yokes for 200 tzuz. They don't cost that much money. Chomerim e'adoyim odim, chom, say, we never follow the price. Why? Because prices fluctuate depending on location, time, and need, right? So therefore, you cannot tell by price. If you sell a donkey, you have not sold accessories. That's what I'm looking for. Now, the name Moshe says, the stuff which is made for riding that you did buy, in other words, the saddle and such like, I don't know if they were used saddles and donkeys, whatever they use, that's sold. The question is the accessories which are used to carry cargo, whether that's sold or not, and kind of comma holds, you didn't sell it. The accessories are included. Depends. Sometimes they're sold, sometimes they're not sold. How so? If the donkey was in front of him, Caleb alive, and the accessories on it, Amarloi said, and he pointed at the donkey. So obviously that means the donkey with everything which is on it, Caleb, and that includes Caleb. Chamorcha, who, he said, that donkey, in other words, wasn't pointing at it, wasn't present, and he did the accessories were not apparent, obviously, before them when they're making the deal. And Caleb Mukhurim, then the accessories are not sold. Now this story about he sells a nursing donkey. Okay, that's the Pnei Moshe says it. So anybody says, sell me a nursing donkey. So you don't sell nursing donkeys for the purpose of the milk, because obviously the milk is treif, right? So therefore, if you're selling a nursing donkey, you're selling the obviously, or buy a nursing donkey, it's in order to buy the young donkeyette, or donkey, whatever they're called, together with the donkey. Okay, that's called a saich. So Macha says saich. It's all together with the mother. Macha pora, however, if you sell a milk cow, Lomar's brother doesn't necessarily include the calf because you might well be buying for the milk. So therefore, if you want to buy the calf, you have to specify that separately. Machar Ashbos, if a person is selling garbages, then Machar Zivla, he's selling the contents thereof. Obviously, this becomes what I'm talking about specifically a fertilizer, right? Because obviously people don't buy the dumps in order without getting the fertilizer. That's the point of it. Machar Bar, if you sell a well, Machar Meimav includes the water. Machar Shreva, you could sell dovecot. Machar Yonim includes the pigeons. Machar Kaveres, if you sell a honey, what's it called? A hive, right? Beehive. Machar Dvorim, you sell the bees. No, Kaveres. Second parak. Yeah. Okay, then. Kaveres is Sugya in Shabbos, but not here. Okay. Kaveres then. I don't think so, but could be you're right. Could be I'm wrong. Anyway, maybe you're right. Kaila, actually, is one of the second paragraph game mixed up, but I don't know. Kaveres, I think, is in Shabbos. Anyway, you sell the bees. If you only bought, however, the fruit of the dovekot, meaning the doves, mafriach brecha rishonim, you cause to fly away the first set of birds. In other words, the first pair, I would say, in order that they should remain, in order to be fruitful, multiply, and make the new next set, next brood of birds for the owner of the dovekot. The rest of it he gets. Okay, so brech rishon, brech rishon, they fly away, meaning they fly back into the dovekot, and he takes all the ones which come after that, all the subsequent birds. Kaveres, I guess this is bistam. Obviously, this is the assumption, you know. When you sell a dovekot, you don't clean out the dovekot. You just buy everything besides what he needs in order to breed again. Similarly, kaveres, if you buy the contents of the hive, you take the first three swarms which come out of the beehive. Those are the best, and then misaris. Then from there on in, you alternate swarms. Misaris means take turns. You take one swarm, he takes one swarm. You take one swarm, he takes one swarm. In order that he should be left with some bees to repopulate his hive. Again, you buy the whole hive, you put just one. The contents of the hive, and that's what it's assumed to include. Chalos vash, if you bought the honeycombs out of the hive, meniach shtai chalos, you leave two loaves. I don't know exactly how you measure the loaves, but that's for the bees which are left. Zesim lakutz, if you buy olive trees to chop down, meniach shtai grupios, you leave two fistfuls of stump next to the ground. Somehow that's enough for the olive trees to regrow. We'll get the other interpretations of that, but we'll stick with that one. All right. Tani, we learned. Hamakras asvira, if you sold the boat. Makras askala, you sell the ramp. Ubora maisha bezochel, and the water reservoir, which is, of course, the seagoing vessel, has water well within it to take along fresh water. Avalomachai Yitzuin. We don't know exactly what Yitzuin is. As Lieberman points out, Yitzuin means various different things throughout the Masechta. It's some sort of a house or a box which people dwell, but obviously it's not integrally part of the boat. I guess it's probably like a box. It's not integrally connected, obviously. So it's like a hut in which the people sleep when they're on the boat, but it can be removed from the boat afterwards, because obviously it's not sold with the boat, so it must be not integrally part of the boat. V'ubin, and you didn't sell the ubin, I don't know exactly what it is, but some other thing which is part of the boat. By scupa, some threshold, and also is obviously removable. By beetzis, and you didn't sell the beetzis. The beetzis is a small launch, you know, a little boat which you used to get from the big boat to shore. Sumusomar mocher dugis, you did sell the dugis. Dugis and beetzis are the same thing. The Bavli gives the etymological derivations of these words. They had different they meant the same thing, but used differently in different places. Okay. To Noim Shita Yoshua, I'm not sure exactly where this comes down in the sugya. Maybe it comes clear later on, I forget. But anyway, to Noim Shita Yoshua. Yoshua made four conditions when the Jews entered the land of Israel. What the four were of course, a subject of controversy. But there are four. Rabbi Levi ben Biri, B'shem Rabbi Shimon Levi said, the Arba, these are the following four. Tap Tezayim Rav. Blakti Masovim Mechomoko. You gather grasses anywhere. Okay, now this is from your friend's field. You can go into your friend's field and gather grasses. It's not considered to be theft. Chutz misada tilson, except for the grasses which go in a fenugreek field. Why? Because those grasses he wants. Shasui mishum gasa, you can't take those grasses. Okay? Obviously they didn't have a concept in the old days of grasses which grow for beauty, right? They don't have yards with grasses. They didn't live in suburbia. But, what? nor for pasturing, because we weren't allowed to pasture your animals in the yeshuv, I guess, right? So, chutzisar etilsar, except for that which the grass which grow in the fenugreek field, shasum b'shem gas, you now have to take them, it's theft. Says the Mara, wait a minute, tamatina, lota, but then sech the kilayim, tilsa, the chain tilsa, shehela, mini asavim. If in the fenugreek field, fenugreek is a type of herb, if other grasses grow there, you're not required to hold them out. Now, the issue, of course, there is kilayim, right? If other grasses go with the fenugreek, so it's kilayim. You know, there's not enough separation. So we don't make you hold them out. Kidimas nisin, what it means by don't have to hold them out, right? You don't have to uproot them. Why don't you have to uproot them? Because anyway, in other words, you don't have to go immediately and uproot them, because anyway, as the plain motion explains, eventually you're going to get rid of them. It's not noach for you, because this grass is bad for the fenugreek. I know kilayim is only kilayim if you are misratzeh, if you are happy with what's growing there. And since people don't like grasses growing in their fenugreek, so therefore it's not kilayim. You don't have to get rid of it right away. Eventually you're going to get rid of it anyway. So of course this is a direct contradiction to what we just said a moment ago. People like the grass growing in their fenugreek, and therefore you're not allowed to steal them, right? But here it's saying people don't like the grass growing in their fenugreek, so therefore it's not an issue of kilayim. So that's a contradiction, which is it? Do people like the grass growing in their fenugreek, because they don't like the grass growing in their fenugreek, right? So it says the Gemara, Kidnai shows Yoshua liked the condition which Yoshua stipulated. Hatmar, you said, Malakti Masami Kom Mokom Chutzmi Sonet Ilsu Mishra Suri Mishum Gezo. You said you can gather grass anywhere except for the fenugreek field, where it's also because of theft. Adam Rosh Eino Rotzabayim. This does means that, and yet the other price we just learned, right, one about kilayim, tells us that you don't want them. So which one is it? Is it theft because you do want them, or is it kilayim, not kilayim, because you don't want them? So Amr, so they said an answer like this. Tam on Mishazara Lamir. Depends what the purpose is. And that'll answer the question as well. A person wants them because of Amir. What is Amir? Amir, according to the Pnei Moshe, means that you want them in order to make ropes out of them. In other words, in order to make bundles, the grass which grow in the fenugreek field are particularly good in order to make bundles. Now, you don't want them for food purposes, that means. You want them, rather, for rope purposes. There's another shot here somebody brings down. I don't know if I wrote it. Gilan Ephraim says below that you want them in order to eat them, which is a little bit difficult. Again, I'm not sure exactly how that will answer the question. But he does say that that's what Amir means. But here, let's learn the Pnei Moshe. The Pnei Moshe says that Taman Mishazorin La Amir Bram Hocha Shazorin La Zera. If there are two types of... there are two reasons why you want grasses to grow. One reason why you want grasses to grow is for the potential to use them as ropes. The other is for the purpose of using them as seed. Now, the grass growing in the fenugreek field, you don't want it for seed. It's no good for seed. It's bad for the fenugreek. It itself is no good. So therefore, you don't want it to be miskayim, except for one purpose. What you want it to do is to use that as ropes, which is not as an edible purpose. For that purpose, as far as you're concerned, let somebody come and pluck them out of the ground, but let them leave them there. Because if he leaves them there, you can still use them for ropes. I guess going to Gilan Ephraim, you use them for some sort of fodder. Amir, I think, is animal fodder, not human consumption. So in any event, be that as it may, this is how we reconcile the contradiction. That nobody wants the fenugreek to stay, the grasses to stay in the ground to get the fenugreek. That's bad. Nobody wants them to grow there until they reach seed level, right? That they can use for seed because they're no good for seed. What you do want them to do is to pluck them out but leave them in the field. Because if they pluck them up and leave them in the field, then you can use them in order to tie bundles of fenugreek to bring the fenugreek back to your house. So therefore, there's this kind of dichotomy. You want them, but you want them cut. So that's why there's no issue of kilayim, because you don't want them to grow, you want them cut out. Okay, it's a little bit of astray, but I don't make up the Gemara, so I just say them over. That's what it says here. Ma'isna Yehoshua, so says Gemara, well, so what is Yehoshua's stipulation? Loiv Ravero? Was there Yehoshua's stipulation that you can't steal it for the people who want it actually to grow? The Gemara still explained the answer. You don't want them to grow, you want them plucked, but you want them plucked and remaining in the field. So Yehoshua's takana not to pluck them out does not make it a kilayim issue, because you really don't want them to grow. Yehoshua's takana was, if you want to pluck them out and leave them there, because they, but don't pluck them out and take them away. Okay? It's part of the question, but then it's a little bit out of order, which is okay. In Kilayim, this they have the same structure as the long red baz here, Kirid baz. In Kilayim, you have the same so you're a little bit structured in a different order slightly. So yeah, that's part of the answer. It's like a rhetorical question, just to expand the answer a little bit more, or that really should have been a little bit earlier in the sugya, that question of Ma'itno Yehoshua. But it be that as it may, Lamaisa, the conclusion is Yehoshua was not making a condition for Ovei Aveira who want to retain Kilayim in their field. No, the guy wants it plucked out, but he wants it plucked and left in the field, not carted away. Okay? Now it says more, why don't we say the same thing? Let's say the same thing by a vineyard. That by a vineyard also, you find grass is growing, so you should have to leave them there because he likes the grasses in order to tie his clusters of grapes together. Okay? In other words, just like you have, now again, he doesn't want them to remain in the ground. He wants them akurim umunachim, but to say the same thing. How come Yeshua only said by a tilson field that you should have that it's gazel? Yeshua say the same thing by a kerem. And demar Rabbiyanai. Rabbiyanai said, kol asvichin asurin. All grasses which grow are forbidden. Now, forbidden here, the question is what exactly are forbidden for? The Pnei Moshe explains that they're forbidden because of theft. Which would be a vast expansion of Yeshua's principle, right? That caused Sovi Masurin, he's a Kosovim Mutarim, except for Sodi Tilson. So if you learn the story about theft in Rabbi Yana, it's about to expand and say there are many more grasses which are also to take, right? But the way actually the Tiner Schleim brings down and the way the Chaim Kanievsky learns to climb, we're talking about vis-a-vis Shemitah. There's a loch in Shemitah that Rabbanan Aser, we assume that Tzvichim is in the Rabbanan. Rabbanan Aser grasses which grow wild during Shemitah in fields which are normally planted. Because they had a problem in the old days, people would plant grasses and say, no, we didn't do it intentionally. It grew wild, it wasn't our fault. So therefore, they made a blank exam and said Tzvichim or Aser. Except they only answered Tzvichim in all cases, except for the following cases. They said, "Call Tzvichim Asurim, Chutz Melon B'Stei Bur, except for grass which come in a field which is intentionally left fallow that year." So everybody knows you're not going to grow grasses in a fallow field. The whole idea was to leave it fallow, right? B'Stei Nir in a field which was plowed, right? Plowed means that it was not the plowed of same reason to leave it fallow. It wasn't plowed in order to grow. It was plowed in order to leave it fallow that year. We saw the carom grasses which grow in a vineyard. They're not also because nobody wants to grow grasses in their vineyard. Because potentially these grasses are going to be what? Kilayim, right? They're going to be kilayim with your carom. Now it's obviously talking about grasses which make grain, not stem grasses. There's Kiliak Karim we're talking about here, right? So it's not grasses, you know, like your bluegrass, but rather it's grasses which have grain in them. Uvesod ezera, and in a field which is made for the purpose of seed, the grasses obviously deplete the seed in some way. Vesod the boar, now the more explains. Vesod the boar, lomashkechale. Vesod the boar, obviously we know he didn't plant. He was left to fallow that year. So therefore, we're not afraid of Ivravera. Vesod the near, in a plowed field, left plowed. Zuboy metakta chakle, he wants to fix it by having nothing grow there this year. So this is counterproductive to him. Besod the carom, he doesn't want it to grow. Shlo less or karma, not to make kilei carom. Besod the zera in a seed field. Shader writes about him. He doesn't want them because they deplete, they diminish the capacity to produce seed. Now, here the going gets a bit iffy. It's here it says we're talking about the Gilin Ephraim changes vata marta. The other people who change it differently. But let's look at the Gilin Ephraim. Vata marta roitze boem kilu akur numunachi lefonov. Let's say that vis-a-vis Shemitah and vis-a-vis theft, which would be the same thing. Let's say, why doesn't a guy want Sfichim to grow in his vineyard? Let him want it. Hi, it's an issue of kilai. It's not a problem, kilai. We'll say, like we said, by the fenugreek field. He wants them to grow, but he wants people to pluck them out. Right? And this, therefore, it should be also vis-a-vis Sfichim by Shemitah, because maybe he's going to do an underhanded thing and grow them. And on the other hand, it should be Mutter, it should be also by vis-a-vis Gezel as well. Nobody should be allowed to take them. Yet we know that the only thing Yeshua answered was grass which grows in the fenugreek field. How come? What's between that qualitatively and a kerem? So says the Gemara, Avata Marta writes about kilu akur munachi lefanam. Right? I think I read that already, but I'm reading it again because I read it, didn't read the way I want to. The way I want to really learn is like this: the Gilin Ephraim and the Gilin Ephraim and most of them before the Shai Teres Yisrael learned that there's no answer here, that it's a kasha. Right? Let's say the same answer which we said before, that it should be that by kerem, just so it should be to say this tilson, should be also to take, but it shouldn't be a problem kilayim because you want it to be akurim umunachim. But I want to learn that this is actually an answer. The way I want to learn is that this is different by kilayim, by kerem. It's different than by a fenugreek field. Because by a fenugreek field, what's the worst thing which can happen? They're going to grow, and you're going to transgress to a circular line. Right? That's bad. But it's not us or by not. Right? Tilson, which grows together with grasses, is kilei's roim, not kilei kerem. But by a kerem, if it grows together, and there's any chashash that you wanted it to be that way, so then it's much worse, because kilei akerem is also banor, right? Any kilei zerum is not also banor, but kilei akerem is. So I think I want to rule on like this. I'm not sure I'm right. Probably I'm wrong, because then nobody else learns this way. But I think that it's a vim type of vatim timer vata marta. Here we're saying it's even right to ben kilei akerem unach lefanav by kilei just before that meant one thing, but here it means another thing. In other words, by a kerem, for sure he doesn't want them there because they're going to answer his. There's a potential, a slight potential, but there's definitely potential that it's going to answer his whole thing, the whole vineyard. The vineyard's going to be kill a kerem. So therefore, Yoshua there didn't make the same takana he made by Tilson. By Tilson, he said, leave it in the field, because he wants them. Hi, he wants them not for the purpose, I might be client. No, he doesn't want them to grow. He wants them to be there for the purposes of ropes. But here, by Kila Karim Yoshua said, no, just treat them like grass is growing elsewhere, and take them away. Hi, maybe the grasses are good for him to make ropes, yes, But he himself doesn't want to take a chance that maybe he's going to create a situation of Kilei HaKerem. So therefore, in this case, he wants you to take them away. It's true he might want it for the ropes, but it's better for him to, better for you to, as from his perspective, not take a chance of Kilei HaKerem. You know, as I'm saying this, I like what I'm saying, but I don't see it in the Gemara. Because in order for me to say this, I have to say that when it says here, right to them, Kilei HaKerem Munachin Lefanov, not that he wants them to be placed in front of him, it really wants them to be taken away. Yeshua would want them to be taken out, even, because Yeshua was matir these to be taken, to be stolen. So I think what I'm saying is a good answer, but it's not what the Gemara is saying. What the Gemara is saying, v'ata marta rotsu ben, ki l'shum no krim nachavam is the kasha. In other words, why can't we say by kerem that the same said by Tilson, that should be also because of Gesel, it's not an issue of Kilayim, because he wants him really to be uprooted and used for ropes. What I'm saying is an answer, but it's not in the Gemara. That Kilayim can't, because it's more severe, he doesn't want them to be there in order to Aser his vineyard. Alright. Be that as it may. Now, there's a line missing here, according to most of the Mepharshim. We're going to go to the second Takon of Yeshua. Okay, the second Takon of Yeshua is Umeis Mitzvah Kona Mekoimo. A Meis Mitzvah acquires the spot where he's buried. Wherever he's buried, you leave him there. So now I'm going to ask the question. Tamatzinim, we learned over there. Hamoitzi Meis Mitchila Mushlo Kedarko. If you find a Meis initially cast along the wayside, it buried, of course, in the ground, but cast along the wayside. Noitlo, you take him, remove him, Estusoso, and the dirt around him into which his rot has seeped. And you rebury him elsewhere. Rav Chis says, Dos Meres teaches us, Meis Mitzvah Mutul Fanoiso. Would seem to teach us that a Meis Mitzvah is not Kona Mekoimo. Rather, you can remove him any way you want. The Tzina Noitlo Estusoso, he just says, you take him together with his rot, the ground. The comma, how much is that? Rabbi Shmuel Chermiyosa said, Ad Shlosha Etzbos, three finger breadth into the ground. Ad Mokom Shamol Yoreid, to the point where his juices, you know, they go and get sucked into the ground. So be that as it may, it's a kasha. I can say Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekoimo. So Rabbi Zira said, now, we're at the top of Tezayim Beis, but there's a whole bunch missing here, which is in the parallel sugya in Nozir. And it should say here the following. Amar Rabbi Zira Tipoter, explain, you don't have this, Shenikbar Shalom, which is talking about a case where he was buried without permission there. Or Shenikbar L'Shelor is buried there on a borrowed basis. Aye, the Chash Lomar, all this you don't have, although we're going to have something like this later on. The Chash Lomar, Shema Meis Mitzvah. Wait a minute, maybe it's a Meis Mitzvah, in which case you can't move him. So Rabbi Zera Shein Meis Mitzvah Mitzvahim. Rabbi Zera holds and Meis Mitzvah are not prevalent. In other words, if you find just a body buried, you don't assume it's a Meis Mitzvah. If it's not in a cemetery, you assume it just happened to have been buried there for convenience sake, you know, in a time of stress or distress. And that's why I've got this. So that's why you can move it. Ve'echav, it's a mitzvah, Meis Mitzvah Mamish, you know, Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekoimo. Okay? The ground was borrowed for this purpose. In other words, it was extended. It was not meant to be. It was buried out tonight. It was not meant to remain there. It was only borrowed temporarily. Later on, right? Lo mistarba do ela meis mitzvah also little back to the Gemara. Lo mistarba do, it doesn't make sense to say that that this story about a meis mitzvah ela meis mitzvah also fanoiso. A meis mitzvah not allowed to move. Shema to oimer aim oimer at muta lifanoso. Now the Gemara connects both tachrons to Yeshua. If you're going to say that a meis mitzvah, you can move, right? Now, this is an alternate answer. In other words, we said Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekoimo. And it says more must be Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekoimo. Because why is that? Because Shema Tayyim Mutav, and as you say, you can move a Meis Mitzvah. Then Elu, The grasses in the vineyard, which cause the loss of the entire field, you certainly could be able to move it, and you wouldn't need a tenai of Yehoshua. In other words, Yehoshua made a condition that it is a fasting Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, look, for sure made mitzvah kana mekoymo. Because if made mitzvah lo kana mekoymo, right, and that you're allowed to move a made mitzvah, so then for sure grass in the dry vineyard you're allowed to move. Because if made mitzvah you're allowed to move, must be because it's ruining the field. You can't use your field. Part of it is being held up by the Meis Mitzvah, right? So therefore, if you'd be allowed to move Meis Mitzvah, for sure you'd be allowed by definition to move grasses, which are potentially going to harm the field, right? Where there's no need of Kovna Meis, right? So if you're going to say that there's a Takara Yehoshua made that you're allowed to uproot grasses, that must be because there's a countervailing takana not to move Meisei Mitzvah. It's an amazing thing the Yerushalmi say. But if there wasn't a takana not to move Meisei Mitzvah, then you wouldn't need Yehoshua's takana that you're allowed to chop down grasses. It must be if Yehoshua had to make a takana that you're allowed to chop down grasses at will from somebody else's field, that is, yes, that's okay. But Meis Mitzvah are not okay. You can't move a Meis Mitzvah. It's an amazing comparison Yerushalmi is making. I'm not responsible for this. But again, Yerushalmi is saying, it must be a Meis Mitzvah usher to move. Because otherwise, you wouldn't need Yehoshua to make a takana that you're allowed to move the grasses. Right? If Yehoshua had to make such a takana, must be he was explained to Meis Mitzvah, they got to remove and remain, even though they inhibit your use of the field. But the grasses, you're allowed to move for your friend's field because it causes the loss because of potential loss of kiline. So it's a little bit of a mess. You know, let's read inside again. So according to the, it's possible that here, actually, the Gemara is answering the Kerem issue. And saying that why Yehoshua allowed you to move him from a Kerem. It's possible just going generally on the grasses when you're allowed to move the grasses. But that's what he says here. Again, lo mistar bado ela meis mitzvah osu fanoso. It's clear that meis mitzvah must be also to move. Shimaimrat mutzu fanoso, if you say it was mutzu to move him, elu, then the grasses, ho ma'avim koko sode, which cause a loss of the entire field. Actually, no, it's the opposite of what I said a moment ago. A meis mitzvah would be a kavachomer. If meis mitzvah only caused the loss of a corner of a field you're allowed to move, certainly the grasses, which caused the loss of the entire field because of kilayim, you'd be allowed to move. In other words, remove them from your friend's field. So why would Yehoshua need a separate takana on the grasses that you're allowed to? Kavachomer, who meis mitzvah, it's only a corner, you could certainly move the grasses, which are entire field. So it must be that meis mitzvah is taka, also to move. And that's what Yeshua had to say, but the grasses, which are potentially a greater problem, that you're allowed to move. So actually now the Gemara is going back and saying an interesting thing. The Gemara is saying, you know why grasses you're allowed to remove in your friend's field? It's not because of some favor Yehoshua did to passers-by that they can take grasses. No, in essence, the passers-by are doing a favor to the balabas because they're saving his field from becoming kilayim. The only kilayim which really answers is kiliyah kerem. Kiliyah Rome don't answer, right? Still mutter by no. Nevertheless, we want to make sure he remains a tzaddik. He doesn't transgress the aveir of kilayim. So therefore, we police his fields and remove kilayim whenever we see them growing. Okay? Says the Gemara, Mimadim Shita Tana Meis Mitzvah Sulfanoso, since it's partial to the Tana, that a Meis Mitzvah is not allowed to move, Lefum Kain, therefore, Tzarech, it should be Masne, Lieberman changes. That's why Yehoshua had to make it tonight, that yes, a Meis Mitzvah you cannot move, but the grasses, you can remove from your friend's field. Rav Chisa said, Asya, this is Goyla, command the man. It's basically repeating what I said we should be introducing to Rav Zera. Rav Chisa, Asya, command the man, it's Goyla, the people who chose Meitz Mitzvah, it should be Osir Lefanoso. And the Meitz Mitzvah is forbidden to move. Lirin makes that change. The Shai Tertzel just takes out the whole Rav Chisda business here altogether. So it's not in Osir, why should be here? But Lieberman says, if it is here, it should say, it says, quite like Manoros holds basements, Oslo Fanoso. Why is that? Hani Oimer, why can you move this one, which is mentioned on Medalf in the Brisa? Because Hani Oimer, it should be either Bishaela, like I said, from the quote from Nazir. And that's the way the Escorial manuscript adds it. Bishelo nikbar, this borrowed only on a borrowed, but buried only on a borrowed basis, and that's to move him. Or what Lieberman proposes instead of Bishvili Arishus, it'd be Belirishus. He was buried there, so that's why the Meis and Amrav you're allowed to move. I the Chashkum Asher Meis Mitzvah. How do you know? Maybe it's Taka Meis Mitzvah. No, Mesa Mitzvah not prevalent. Now, the next word we're talking seems to be going on the previous line. But all the Achronim change it. They say it should be Umetailin. And this is a new Takon of Yoshua. It's Metailin Bishvili Arishus. You can walk in the pathways, optional pathways, which go through your friend's field. We should talk at for from the time the greatest harvest of the year before until the second rain falls. In other words, there's no growth in the field during that time. The stuff only starts sprouting out of the ground after the second rain in the winter. So the whole summer you can walk through ad hoc paths, Shvili Arishus, through your friend's field. So the word Shvili Arishus in the previous line is an unfortunate error because the Shvili Arishus over here. That's been the previous line should really be Bishvishaela Nikbar, as I said, or Belirishus Nikbar. But here it's about talking about Shvilirishus optional pathways. Okay? Says the Gemara, V'lechin etiyas b'chom makom, another talk going to be Yeshua, is that you can take saplings wherever they grow. Chutz mi shozai to show gefen. In other words, you can take saplings and use them in your field. I guess it's talking about Hefsker saplings. You can take them and move them to your field wherever they grow. Chutz mi shozai to show gefen, except for olive saplings and grape saplings. You must leave them in place. Bezayis, however, that's not always true. Bezayis, by an olive sapling, mina chodesh shebechot. No. This is just one of the corners of Yeshua. Here you are putting the entire sapling, not jumping there. Yeah. So besides mean a chodesh b'chodesh, you could take the newest of the new, which is not yet growing fruit. Minayachin shebiyachin, and the oldest of the old, which is already not growing fruit anymore. But not anything in the middle. Anything in the middle you can't take because if it's growing fruit and you uproot it, I guess you diminish its capacity to be eaten. Maybe it gets orla again. Somehow the strength is going to be sapped. You only take either very, very new or very, very old. If it was growing like in a triangle shape, don't ask me why. You can't even take the newest of new, which hasn't grown any fruit yet. I guess it's a very powerful olive tree. It's growing this triangle shape. I think it means there are three trunks coming out of the same root, and therefore to move it would be very devastating. And then even if it's brand new and it's not growing any olives, you still can't move it. I'm not sure if that's what it means, but it means something to that effect. Anyway, those are the four takonos which we enumerated till now. The one about removing grasses from your friend's field, and we came to the conclusion that Zohar prevent kilayim, meis mitzvah konar makomo, right, you can't move him. You can walk in Shvili Arishus until the stuff starts sprouting, and you can take saplings, young fruit tree saplings, wherever they're growing. Okay, that's one version of the four. Rabbi Tanchum Kvar Nun or Gun, B'Shem Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi said Arba the following four. a different version. You can gather grasses wherever. You can't remove the roots. Now, from here it sounds like it's not a key lime issue, but rather, grasses, whatever you need grass, you can go to your friend's field and take them, right? Because they're easily replenishable, as long as you don't uproot the roots. So it's clearly not a key lime issue, because key lime issue want to take the roots up too, right? But here it's talking about just in order to, as a replenishable resource, you can make use of your friend's grasses. And you can defecate behind your friend's fence, in other words, in his field, even though it's damaging to his field. But as Rabbi Ezra Shem Rabbi Tanahu said, you can go into your friend's field ad makom shemisatesh, to the point that when you defecate and you pass gas, right, misatesh is coughing, but here it means coughing from the bottom, they call nishma, that they won't hear you from the road. So you can go all the way to your friend's field, that far away from the road, in order to defecate when you're obviously in a pinch. Also, that you can graze animals, even sheep, in forests. Now, forest land was owned by people. That's what it says. I feel shaved, you shaved Naphtali. It's not owned by specific individuals, but it's owned by the shaved. But I can go to another shaved's area and graze my animals there, because the forests are considered to be vis-a-vis this halacha as if they're hefker. Okay? The nice naftoli, and it's interesting, the final tonight is very interesting. The nice naftoli, malei chevel adromo shoyam. Naftoli has to get a rope's length of the seashore on the south side of the Kinneret. He's got to get that. Wherever you can beyond that, to another shevet, the beach has to go to Naphtali. Why is that? Because it says Yom on the west, Vidarom, and on the south, Yerusha, Naphtali will inherit. Basically, Rabbi Akiva says, nah, no, you don't have to give them on the seashore. It says you have to give them on two different seas. Yom the Yom Shel Samchu, I believe that's the Chula, which has been drained. But that well, they restored it a little bit recently. But that's the northern lake. And the Dorum Zayamshul Tveria, which they have to get part of the Chula and part of the Kinneret. Mistalkin and Stodim means it's either going back on the bathroom halacha, you know, where you defecate, or it's going to the Gemara Brachos. The Gemara Brachos says if the road, you know, they didn't have crews like Chicago fixing the road 24 hours a day like they do here. So they're in the middle of the winter. They had the Yushan Brothers, the Yesedos, drachim. It's hard to walk over the road because they were like ruts going up and down, like kind of like the alleys in Chicago. Now, you guys live in Skokie, you don't know about this. But it was difficult to walk in the middle of the road. So therefore, then you're allowed to go on the side of the road, even somebody else's field. Rishim Rab said, "Afilu sodem molea karko." Even if his field is full of saffron, which is a very expensive flower, you're still allowed to walk there and tread on his growth. Says Maramad, "Noisi dami molo." Do you pay him for the saffron which you trampled or not? Right? Mimad Ravida, "Afilu molea karko." For that, for language, which Ravida said, even if it's full of karko, hada it should be hada amara. Eino nosi dami. The Escorial says you don't pay, because if he says even saffron, it means that you don't even have to pay, even though it's saffron. So he actually changes the gears to the Escorial manuscript to eino nosi dami. I'm Rabbi Law. Rabbi Law said, and the Escorial says, Rabbi Law said b'shem masnis on the name of Brisa. And Rabbi Yehuda said b'shem Shmuel. So a lot more than it says over here. Now he came in the Maravita, brother. Rabbi Amrei lo b'shem masnison. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Shmuel. Afilu sodem le'a karkom. It's confirmed what we just said. Came in walk in the saffron field, filled field. Adamra teach us a noisim domim that you don't pay. Okay. Now it says where ve'ena yochel irchok. Now this is the Escorial is a much better gear. So here says, feel yochulit chokas about the walking in the middle of the road. What if it's through dochak he can hold back until he can defecate somewhere else. Or through Dochak, he can walk in the middle of the road until he can get somewhere else. Is he required nevertheless, is he allowed nevertheless to go through the saffron fields? So Shemini Me'adot, let's turn out from here. Ma'isa Gamliel Be'Rishu Shur Ma'achim Be'Derech. There was a way, there was a time when Gamliel Shur walking down the road, and the Escorial adds, for you must stop him, they say, it's a drug, and they went to the side because of the ruts in the middle of the road. The Rosh Yehuda ben Pappas and the Son Yehuda ben Pappas Mishtakea. He was sinking in, you know, because the roads had such great ruts. He went down and up and down and up, right? The Rosh Yehuda ben Pappas Mishtakea, but connected, and sinking and coming opposite that. Aragam Leel, Rabbi Shur, Gamil, Son of Shur, Mize Shemar Atzmo Vetzma. Who's this guy that's putting the finger on himself? Meaning being a Baal Gaiva. Amrullah said, Yudim and Papa's notes, Yudim and Papa should call Maisel Shem Shemayim. Everything he does is Shem Shemayim. Can't criticize him. Whatever he does, Shem Shemayim. So be that as it may, what we see from here is that even though it's possible to be doichik oneself like Yudim and Papa's did, you're not mechuyev to do so. So Yeshua and Gamliel were walking on the side in other people's field because they say it was drachim. Okay? That was another verse of Tarkoz Yeshua. Now he gets to another interesting halacha. And then Rishum Shemri Yonis said, "Set a rental of those ear betchila. You want to build a city. You're a city planner. You decide we're going to build a new city. So next, Arba Jochem Arba Uzam. You give him. I know who's giving it to him, but you give him four roads on the four sides of the to the four directions. You give him four highways: north, south, east, west. Okay. Echana boikur emar emar echana aspar reimon atapu yutzaim rab ma." Arba Amasad Shmaya, what's the width of the roads you give him? It's obviously not less than 4 amos, but is it between 4 and 8 amos or Mishmona at Sheshesre? I don't know. I guess so. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
He's purchasing property, so now you give him four, you have to afford him 4 roads. I guess that's the pshat. Makes sense. You're telling somebody, stop. From the shape ear, so you have to give him this possibility of 4 roads. It makes sense in the line of our mission. Very good. Okay. Is it 4 to 8 or 8 to 16? I'm going to be shmona at Sheshes rate. From 8 to 16 amos. 16, of course, the maximum of Shiva Shus Arabian. They should corn hold up a corn bus so that wagons could pass each other. 8 amos is the minimum shear for 2 wagons to pass each other because wagons are 4 amos wide, right? So it's be at least 8 amos you give him, but no more than 16 amos, right? Because 6 amos is maximum shear for Shus Arabian. How long a base? How could it stay in Lotus Bedel Shachaver if you buy 2 trees in your friend's yard? I raised a little kind of cock, you didn't buy land. Okay? So therefore, you have the trees until they die. Once they die, you get out of there, right? Or until you chop them down. And the mayor, Kanakak, or mayor of the screen says, even 2 trees you bought land, and therefore you can replant them once you cut them down or once they die. Higdilu, if you don't have land, lo yishafef, they grow, when they grow large, the owner of that, the land has no right to cut the foliage, even if it's obscuring his land, because that was the whole point of his selling just a tree, that the tree has the right to grow. Even though it's impinging on his land, since by definition it's all his land, so therefore he has to allow it to grow freely. Holy Minagazer Shalom, what's growing out of the trunk belongs to the person who bought the tree. The Shalom grows out of the roots, since the land belongs to Ba'abas, belongs to Ba'abais. The Mason, if the tree, one or two trees die, and Lokarka, he has no land to replant. Koneshleish, if he bought 3 trees, Konekarka, then he bought land. And then, on the contrary, Igdilu, if they grow, the foliage grows too large and extends over the owner of the land, field, then he shafed, the owner of the field is allowed to trim them. Because then already he says, look, whatever land I gave you with the trees, that's your land, you can't encroach upon my land. Right? In that case, that whatever grows in the roots also belongs to the person who bought the trees, because he has rights in the land. He may say that they die, Ishakak has the right to replant. The Bei Rabbi I said, what's called coming out of the roots? Haroas Hatzel, that which sprouts out of the shadow, meaning out of the ground, Zeshoresh. In other words, an exposed root is not considered being a root. A root is considered what's in the ground. So Chiddush, it's not in Bavli. Haroas Hachama, So that which sees the sun with its exposed roots, zegeza, is considered to be drunk. So if it grows out of the ground, out of the root, the ground belongs to the owner of the field. It grows out of an exposed root, standing out of the ground of the trunk, and that belongs to the owner of the tree. Okay? Rabbi Chama, Baruch Hashem Yossi said, Holy Mishrash of Umigizo, what if it's growing out of both the roots and the trunk? Zeu Shorish. As if it's growing from the root and belongs to the owner of the field. Only if it grows out of the trunk by itself and not out of the roots, Zeu Ilan, it's a tree. I'm not sure if he's arguing or complimenting. In other words, is he defining trunk the traditional way? Is he also defining trunk the light, anything which is above ground? It's not clear. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, HaKodesh Shloshi Ilanos, if you bought three trees, you buy the land between the three trees, utachtein, and under the trees, gutzem, and around the trees, kamoli aor v'salo, the amount of which somebody who's plucked, the amount of distance it takes for somebody who's harvesting to walk around with his basket. Amrezer says, v'derech einlo. He doesn't have a road access to the trees. He's got to hire a path, rent the path to get to his trees. Kamoli aor v'salo yesh gutzlo, but he does have, again, this area to walk around and harvest. So the way the Pnei Moshe learns, it's bitmia. You're really going to say such a thing? I'm not sure if it's bitmia. I think it's actually a fact. I think he has no path. He has to rent the right to get to his trees, but he does have the right to harvest them, so therefore he has land around them to walk around and harvest his trees. Okay, somebody who sells a head of a cow or any other behemagasa, large animal, models are glad, but doesn't automatically sell the legs with it. Models are glad to sell the legs, or models search, you don't automatically sell the head. Models are glad to sell the trachea, local models are glad, you don't automatically sell the liver. Models are glad to sell the liver, local models are glad, you don't automatically sell the cone. I'll behemadaka, but by a sheep. Malchus HaRosh, if you sell the head, Malchus HaGlaim, it includes the legs. Malchus HaGlaim, you sell the legs, Lo Malchus HaRosh, it doesn't include the head. In other words, the head includes the legs. Legs from the knees down, right? But not vice versa. Malchus HaKoneh, Malchus HaKoveh, if you sell the Koneh, that includes all the trachea, that includes the liver. But it's going to say the liver, Lamarcus Kana doesn't necessarily include the trachea. Okay, these are all the conditions in the marketplace in the old days, right? Well, it's ours not to question why, that's just the way things were. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak Shoy, Rabbi Yitzchak asked an interesting question. Everybody has difficulty with this question, I'm not sure why. Very straightforward. Yitzchak asked, Mocher Chatzi HaRosh. This is a question you'd expect Rabbi Yirmiyah to ask, but Rabbi Yitzchak, whoever he was, asked it. You sold half a head, right, by a sheep. Mocher chatzi raglaim, did you sell half the legs? Or mocher chatzi kone, mocher chatzi kove, did you sell half the liver? Right? So mocher chatzi kone is a fragment. The best thing, the easiest thing to do is take it out. Let's take it out. Who takes out the Lieberman brings out from the Radbaz, not the Ribbaz, the Radbaz, so he doesn't have it. Yishmini miyado, let's turn it out from here. Now, there's a big machlokas as to what the conclusion of this Gemara will be. Some of the learn the conclusion Gemara will be that it does work. Some learn the conclusion Gemara is that it doesn't work. The Radbaz, again, who is one of the Chosh V'Achronim, learns the conclusion is that it doesn't work. So we're going to learn like the Achronim will learn like him, as opposed to the Gilin Ephraim, say, and the Pnei Moshe, who learn that you do the cell have, when you sell half the head, you sell half the legs, we'll learn like the Radbaz, which is, we're going to learn the proof in that fashion. What if a butcher sold you the hand of the foreleg of an animal, a rosh kamoshu, or the head as is, or the intestines kamoshu? So no, so the coin, you give the coin each corresponding part. What does the coin get from the hand? The zroa, right? What does he get from the head? The l'chayayim, right? What does he get from the intestines? The kevah. So the butcher gives that to the kohen. Venom and akalom in adomim. He doesn't take off from the price. because it's understood that's part of the purchase, right? In other words, that will be deducted from the purchase price because you sell by unit, right? Now, whatever, what happens if he sells by mishkal? Right. Head by head, which means minus the lechayim, which is going to go to the kohen, right? However, lechem b'mishkol, if you buy by weight, nosel the kohen, then the butcher gives the kohen, but not going to tell me, but has to take off from the purchase price, because not selling by unit, but by weight. So the proof from this, with Ribaz and the Bechamayim, Lieberman Learn, is very simple. When you sell half a head, there's no such, it's not a unit. What is it? You're selling by weight, right? So just like when you sell by weight, you don't take the Zerol Chaim and Keva must be deducted, right? Because you're selling by precision, not by unit. So therefore, you don't sell anything other than the thing that you're selling. And so Chatzi Rosh, it doesn't include Chatzi Raglaim. When you sell by units, then head includes by sheep legs, right? And trachea includes liver. But if you sell halves, then by definition you're already selling by weight. By weight, it's only precisely what you sold, no more, no less. And that's why it doesn't include the chatzia raglaim and the chatzia kavin. Okay, arba midas b'moichin. Did you daven marav yet? Okay, good. We don't daven marav this year. In this year. Next week, actually, I'm from right, because earlier minyanim don't exist that much anymore. But, all right, I remember this from my friend. There are four midos by sellers. Machlochitim yafos v'nim tzuros. If you sold sold what's supposed to be good grain and turned out to be bad grain, okay, chelchelaspo the buyer can renege. Gross, you see, I've said, but it's supposed to be bad grain and found it was actually good grain. The seller can take. Gross, vinim to gross. The found they were bad, supposed to be bad, and they would turn out to be bad. The officer supposed to be good, and they turn out to be good. Nobody can renege. Shkimtis, same thing, dark and light. Shkimtis means to Zavara. Zavara needs a shkimtis. Same idea. Same idea. Eitzim shel zayis to shoshikma. You were supposed to sell olives, sold sycamore. Shoshikma needs to shel zayis. Same idea. Yaim needs to chaymit. Same idea. Wine and vinegar. Chaymit seems to yaim. Shteim chaym lach serbo. In that case, both can renege. Right?
Both meaning?
Buyer and seller. They're different, not deficient. So therefore, since they're different, it's saying like, where the both can renege on the deal. Okay? In other words, it's not gross and yuffles. It's different types. So therefore, each person can renege. I should have made that clear. Hamaycher peros l'chavero. So he sells his friend peros. Moshach v'lo modan. The buyer pulled it, but it wasn't yet measured. So we don't know how much it was, what was there. Kana. It's considered to be a kinyan. Moda v'lo moshach, but measuring and without doing mashicha, is not considered to be a kinyan. Unless, if the buyer was smart, so was Makomo, then the place where the measuring vessel is, he rents it out, because then, what he's kind of, everything has its port into the vessel, not by Mashicha, not by Medida, but by what? By kinyan. Kinyan Chotzer, right, because once you rent out the place, he acquires it through kinyan Chotzer. Okay? Somebody buys flax from his friend. I raise a little kana, actually, taflan mokum. So, kinyan until he does mashiach on it. We have a chuber lakaka, but if the flax is still growing in the ground, the tolosh koshu, and he plucked out some part of it, kana, he acquired meat, but through that, it's like a kinyan on a field. He acquired whatever flax is growing in the field. Amochi, I'm a shem lechavero. So, he sells wine and oil to his friend. Vukra, they went up in price. Oshuzer went down in price. Achulonis Malay Samida, if it's before the measure was filled, then Lamocha. Then it's the buyer's advantage or disadvantage. Because Malay Samida, if it's after the measure was filled, Lalokech, then it's to the Lokech's advantage or disadvantage. And Mark's going to ask, how does that work? What does measuring out have to do with anything? Where's the Kenyan? Mark's going to ask that. Sarsu Beneim. If there's a agent between the two of them, and Nishbro Chavis. Now here the Tosefta says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nishbro Chavis. That's going to be critical. Lieberman points out when you get to the Gemara. If he says if the jug, the barrel breaks, Nishbro Sarsu, it's the Sarsu's problem. In other words, he's a shomer. He's a shomer socher. So therefore, he's chayev on Avedo. So therefore, he's got to reimburse whoever loses as a result. Okay? Chayev atlo shlosha tipin. When you're pouring out to somebody, you have to pour the last three, till three droplets come out. You have to keep pouring until drop, drop, drop. Then that's considered to be fully poured. Yerkino umitzes, when after those three drops came out, you stood it up again, right? Even though there's still stuff in there, raises shemoicher. That point, loker is misyoish for getting any more. Whatever's left in the barrel belongs to the seller. Chenvani, now here Lieberman takes out eno based on the Leiden manuscript, where the word eno was not there, and that makes the gemara much more palatable. Chenvani chayav latiflo shlosha tipin. A chenvani, as the same thing, a storekeeper must drop the drip, the three drips at the end. It says if it's Friday night, right before Chashecha, Friday evening, and he's running home before Shabbos, he doesn't have to wait that long when pouring. Okay? It's just stop pouring before that. Vehechi says, well, what's it talking about? We said before, if it goes, the price goes up and down as you're pouring. If it's before it's poured, it's the moichers. If it's after it's poured, it's loker's issue. How so? Where does pouring ever make a kinyan? Says more imbeshoyes hamida lemoicher. If the mida belongs to the moicher, chazok lemoicher. So it's still the moicher. It's going up and down in his domain. Imoys loker. If it's loker's, the chazok loker goes up and down in his domain, right? B'shem Shmuel Rabbi Law, b'shem Rabbi Yehuda, b'Rebbe. Rabbi Yusuf name Shul and Rabbi Law said in the name of Rabbi the Berebi, Kini Masisa Mishdabar. Shais Amida Law the Macher. The Mida belongs to a third party. Now, when it belongs to a third party, that means as this person is Makne this Mida to each person as he needs it. So before it's filled up, who does the Mida belong to? Who does the third party Makne to the Moicher? After the Mida is filled up, who is he Makne to? Lokech, right? So therefore, as the midah is being poured, it belongs to the moicher. As the midah is filled, it belongs to Lokech, because of the das of the third party, is makne it in turn to the moicher as it's being filled up, and Lokech after it's filled up. So actually, this is obviously talking about also in his domain, because obviously Caleb Shlokech, Bishul's moicher, Lokara. So it's obviously talking about a case where this third party, the sarsur is in turn being marked to his yard and his midah to first the moicher and then lokeach. So before it's filled up, whatever loss or gain there is in the price belongs to the moicher. After it's filled up, whatever loss or gain there is in the price belongs to the lokeach. Okay? Says the gemara, Tani, Rabbi Yudai Merle, the Shabsi Chashecha Potter. Friday night before nightfall, he's exempt from pouring the three drops. Why is that? Mipnei shehu reshus. Because I skipped. No, I didn't skip. I'm sorry. Tan Rabbi Amir le Shabbos chashecha poter mipnei shehu reshus le Shabbosim chashecha the Friday night chashecha. Why is he poter? Why? Because he has reshus. Now, Bav used language torud. What it means is that he was reshus to run home for Shabbos. He's torud in the tirda of the mitzvah of Shabbos. So therefore, he doesn't have to pour the three drops. But if you're selling, no matter what, you're chayev. You're liable to pour three drops. Hayter of Shabbos for chashecha, tough luck. You got to pour those three drops. Okay? My time. Now, this is going back to Rabbi Yehuda who said, If the barrel breaks, it's the sarsus problem. Why is that? Rabbi Yudan says, in other words, Rabbi Yudan, who authored the statement in the Tosefta, the same one who says, Im sachir babischar, it says if you're a renter, then you're like a shomer sachar. So therefore, if you're a hired watchman, so because you're a hired watchman, you're getting paid, so therefore you're liable for Aveda. So Tia the Sarsur is a hired watchman, he's liable for Aveda. The fact that Bar broke, unless it's an onus, he has to make restitution. Okay, let's try and go to the end of the parak. Should take another 5 minutes. Hashleach es beno etzel chenvoni. I send my son to a storekeeper. Umadid lo bitzer shaman, and the storekeeper measures out for him for an iser worth of oil. Venusel is iser, and he gives him change of an iser. Shavasos, if the kid breaks the jug, vives iser and loses the coin of chenvoni chayev. I didn't send my kid to be the messenger that he should bring back the oil and the change. I sent him to let the chenvoni know that I want oil and I want change. But the chenvoni is liable for having sent back the stuff irresponsibly with my son. You should have sent it with a responsible messenger. Rabbi Yudah Pater says, no, it's Patusha, Menaskin Shilchum. He sent the kid in order the kid should be the messenger. That when the father sends the kid holding the jug, the chenvoni pours into the jug, the chenvoni is exempt. Hasito mekanech midoisav l'shloshim yom. A wholesaler cleans out his measures every 30 days. Ubaal bayis achas v'shnei mesol chodesh. Ubaal bayis once every 12 months. So his measures don't accumulate as much guk because he doesn't use them as often. So only every 12 months. Shigam yomer on the contrary, chilvat vorim. The seaton there's less guk because he's constantly turning over. Baal Bayis is more cook, so we have to do it the Sita once every 12 months and the Baal Bayis every 30 days. HaChenvoni Mekanechus Midaisav, the storekeeper cleans out his measures, Pamayim B'Shabbos, twice a week. Mermachus Mishkaloisav, and he checks out his weight, Pamayim B'Shabbos, once a week. Mekanechus Naim, and he wipes out the scales, I call Mishko Mishko after each and every way. Or Shigamli says by Med, for I'm more in Wednesday, Chubalach, because stuff adheres. But not by dry. Stuff doesn't adhere. V'chayev l'achriyalo tefach. Now, he has to have, the scale has to tip to the buyer's advantage by tefach, which of course is a large amount. So obviously about a very large weight. And the Gemara is going to make that point clear. It's got to tip like this to the buyer. Like this, right? So Aya Shokula Ayin Bayin, if he does weigh precisely, Nosin Lo Girumim, then you gotta give that advantage. In other words, if you scale exactly, you still gotta give advantage to Lokech, you give it to him on the side. Echel Asar Balach 1/10 by dry liquid measures, Vechel Besrim 1/20 by Yavish, by dry measures. Makam Shnam Nagula Mutaka, where they use small measures, Limagasa shouldn't use large measures. The guys that use large measures, Limadaka shouldn't use small measures. Limchok place where they make exact measures, like a scant teaspoon, Leigdosh you can't make a heaping teaspoon. Leigdosh they make a heaping, Limchok can't make scant. Amar Rabbi Bobar Melor says, Basiris Kayev Lachrilo Tefach. Saying in the Mishnah said at the end, Girumim are 1/10, right? The additional amount which you give the buyer. So they say, when does it go Tefach down? When you're measuring in units of 10, so tefach is a 10th extra, like 10% over. But not if it's less than that. Obviously, you don't have to give, when you're more measuring small amounts, you don't give them a tefach balance. That'd be ridiculous. You'd make no profit whatsoever. Okay? See, now it says, Mosnei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek. It says, just scales and just stones. Now, but the thing is, it goes on. Okay, Moshe brings down, it says, to the Mosnei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Eifat Tzedek, a measure, all these things, just Vehein Tzedek, Yelochem. What does it mean, Yelochem? Means if you do this, you're going to have riches. So from this we learn, anytime the Torah promises reward to the person who fulfills a mitzvah, ain't based in mitzvah musar mele. Based is not required to compel this. In other words, based in is not required to compel this this issue. Now, what do you mean? Of course, based is required to compel weights and measures, right? No, but this hein tzedek. Hein tzedek is our mission, which is talking about birutzim, where you give extra. Basin doesn't compel that you have to give the extra amount. You see that?
Right,
the extra tefach, the extra 1/10 inch, which Basin does compel that. If you want to give that and be a pious person, that's yelochem. But Basin is not required to do that. Okay? Says the Gemara, says the Gemara, yelocha. Wait a minute! It says it should be to you. It's an agronomist. It says you should appoint. The Department of Agriculture is in charge of weights and measure, even on your gasoline. Did you ever notice that? The seals on the gasoline that the measures are accurate are from the Department of Agriculture. That it was. So the, because it says the agronomist was the person who's in charge of weights and measures. So. Still in the Department of Agriculture. Go next time you go to a gas station, look at the gas pump. Okay? So Yelcha Minelcha Agronomus Akach, the Tamar Achain says you have to have people in charge. How can you say the basin doesn't have to even be involved? Amrei Bun Barachia Kinemasisun means. Of course, basin be involved. It means Komitsa Sheman Schar Betzida, any mitzvah with the reward is promised, aim basin and Noshimaleh. Basin is not punished if they don't do it. They should be do involved, but they're not required. They don't get punished if they don't. There's another version here in this story out says ain't based in Ochnola. Based in should have somebody involved and in charge, but they can't punish people if they're giving the right measure for not giving the additional measure on top of that.
Who's in punishment?
Malchus, right. They can't get Malchus. And Tzidkus, right. They can't do that. Okay? Now, here we end up with a story. The story is very unclear. So I'm going to make a combination of me, Lieberman, and the Gillian Ephraim in order to explain it. Gillian Ephraim? I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to give you my explanation. Rav, Mani Resh Galusa Agronomus. Rav was appointed by the Resh Galusa to be the agronomist. He was in charge. Vave Mache, he would beat people al Mechelosa on actual measures. Va'al Shuraya. Take out the low. That's on my own opinion. Otherwise, the whole story doesn't work. You'll beat them on the actual measure and on the additional measure. Beat them. So he enforced the shurim, which were additional. Okay? That's what shurim means. The other people say shurim means the shar on how much they were charging per pound. That's not mashma that way. I don't think that's the shot. Anyway, Chavshir Shkusu put Rav in prison. Rabbi Karna Gabe. Rav Karna came in and asked to visit Rav and said, how can you do this? Resh Galusa is right. It's only for the measures themselves, not for the additional amounts. That's Hein Tzedek. It's not up to you. Amalei, no. Vatanis, we learned, Agronomus Lemidos Ashurim. I am in charge to make sure it happens. I don't have enforcement powers. Ain't based in Onchimalea, but I have to go and try and persuade them to do it. So Brysa, Agram Samiz Ashurim. Amarle, and Lieutenant Brysa. Amarle, so Rish Galusa said to Rav Karna, Pukar Marlon, go out and tell the public me putting Rav in prison was justified. Agronoma Shamru, Lemidos below the Shurim. It's only for the actual measures. Not for the additional shear. Says Gemara. So Rav Karna was stuck, right? Resh Galusa wants to go out and be his public relations man. But Rav told him that's not the halacha. So he did something. He could come in. I'm all finished. So Rav said, you know what? He said, this is Rav Karna went out and he said like this. He said, Barnash the Tana Kavsha. Barnash, and then one more minute. The individual who teaches us about Kavsha, who taught us about Kavsha. Kavsha means the additional midos, so the heaviness of the weights. And it says also, Babasra in the Bavli says that Pezayin, the Rav was in charge with Tana midos. So he's the one who taught us midos, and he taught us Kavsha. He taught us about the additional amounts. Dahinu, the officers, the policemen, it says Dahinu or policemen, Chavshin Lei, they hold him in prison. So he didn't come outright and say that Rav is correct. He didn't come outright and say like the Reish Galus is correct. He alluded to people that he taught us certain halachas and he's being held in prison, so make it clear that he was not agreeable to Rav's being in prison, that Rav was doing the right thing.